As a reminder, we've been studying about Luke the man. We've been reading a lot of what he wrote in Luke. We'll get to eventually, if the Lord tarries, what he wrote in Acts. Luke, in the book of Luke, he wasn't one of Jesus' apostles. He wasn't a disciple of Jesus, per se. He didn't travel with Jesus. He lived a little bit later time. He was a Gentile. He was a follower of the Apostle Paul. And when Luke joined Paul on his third missionary journey, at the conclusion, when they went back to Jerusalem, Paul had several with him, at least seven others, maybe eight, nine. And Paul got arrested in Jerusalem, and he was held prisoner by the Roman Empire for 2 years. He was transferred down to Caesarea. Luke stayed nearby, but he was in Jerusalem with this opportunity to interview people that would were with Jesus, even his mother Mary. And he writes a lot of things that the other gospel writers didn't write concerning Mary, that only he could have learned from Mary, because she told him things that she had pondered in her heart. And so in the process of time, while he was there those 2 years, he took advantage of interviewing all that he could. Obviously, he got to interview some of the apostles that were there, and most likely he got to interview Peter quite a few times. And so we know that he could, from his complete understanding of what took place, write what took place during the life of Jesus and beyond. So he wrote a chronicle in two books of the New Testament of the life of Jesus, basically, in the book of Luke, and the life after Jesus from Pentecost on in the book of Acts up to about the time Paul had been held prisoner in Rome for 2 years. And so it's kind of like 60-some years of chronology that Luke puts down and leaves for us. There was in our studies, we've come to the time when Jesus was raised from the dead. After his crucifixion, we went over a long time in Luke 23, covering the crucifixion of Jesus, and then Luke 24 concerns the resurrection of Jesus, and most all events in Luke 24 up to about verse 48 concern on the first day of his resurrection, where he made at least five different appearances unto different ones. But then there's a period of time from Jesus' death and resurrection to the day of Pentecost. About 7 weeks go by, 50 days. And so we're in that time frame in our studies here. And we got to think and put ourselves in the mindset of the apostles, Jesus' disciples. What were they thinking? You know, they were waiting for the day of Pentecost to come. Jesus had told them about, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But they didn't understand what that meant. And they had their own ideas, I guess. I think one of the reasons Jesus appeared to them on the first day of his resurrection was to verify that he was indeed raised from the dead, because they were still mourning his death. They hadn't really reconciled all the things that he had told them and taught them for 3 years. And he'd taken care of them. Think about it. They didn't have any needs while he was around. They didn't have to go out and work at a job to make a living. He took care of them. They were in training to become the Kingdom Apostles. And now, did I have you turn to Mark 14? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. On the evening of the Last Supper, Jesus made this statement to his disciples. And we're going to look at several appearances that Jesus made, more appearances Jesus made between the day of his resurrection until 40 days later. And in Mark 14, starting in verse 26, this was on the evening of the Last Supper, it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." And of course, in other places, we read that Peter said, "No, I won't be offended," and the rest of them said the same thing. But note this verse 28. Jesus also told them, "But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." And these same words, go to Matthew 26. These same words are recorded in Matthew 26, 32. And it reads verbatim, all of the same, I think. "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Now, go to Matthew 28 for a minute. And we'll read some things here. In Matthew 28, we'll start in verse 5. And this would be on the day of his resurrection, the first day of the week, which would be Sunday. The angel of the Lord said unto the women at the empty tomb, and verse 5, "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. I have told you." Go down to verse 9. "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." So Jesus here was making an appointment to meet with the remaining 11 disciples in Galilee after that he was risen from the dead. And from what we just noticed here, Jesus made this statement twice. And furthermore, the angel of the Lord made this statement. So the fact that Jesus made this statement twice, that he would see the brethren in Galilee, it should be sufficient witness that he would go before them into Galilee and that they would see him there. But if you recall our previous lessons, where did Jesus appear unto his disciples first? No, it wasn't Bethlehem, it was in Jerusalem. It's close. Yeah. Okay. So, and the Emmaus disciples, remember, they went back to Jerusalem and told the disciples that they seen Jesus and he showed up right there. Now, so what we've seen here in these appearances that Jesus made on the first day of the week of his resurrection, Jesus appeared unto many around Jerusalem. not in the region of Galilee, some 75 miles north of Jerusalem. We'll get to this eventually, maybe today. In John 21, we read of seven of the disciples going to Galilee. And in John 21, if you have studied or are familiar with it, you'll find that not all of the 11 remaining disciples of Jesus are found mentioned in this chapter. Seven of them are. And as you study John 21, you'll realize that these seven apostles didn't go up to Galilee to see Jesus. It wasn't, Jesus made an appointment with them before he died that he would appear with them after his resurrection to them in Galilee. They went up to Galilee to go fishing. Really? They needed to, hey, let's go fishing. We need some time off. So Jesus, who was always true to his word, he did also meet with these seven in Galilee. But when he did, it was much to their surprise. Maybe, well, you know, unbelief. Man, we all have that, don't we? The Apostle John, who wrote the book of John, in John 21:14, says, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead." That record there in John 21. And think about this. Ponder this. The Apostle John thought about this, writing the whole book of John, for about 55 years before he wrote it down. So he wrote about this third appearance of Jesus to his disciples, John being one of them. He thought about it for 55 or more years. And John 21 seems like an epilogue or an addition to what he wrote in the rest of the book of John, because John thought this event was so important to him that he added another chapter. And he thought about it for a long time. 55 years or more is a long time. The Apostle John makes no other mention of Jesus' promised appointment to meet the 11 disciples in Galilee, but both Matthew and Mark recorded this in their gospel records, which we read above in earlier. Matthew 28:16 informs us, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." So this would have been sometime different, sometime later than what we're reading in John 21. And so, Lord willing, we'll discuss this separate event a little later in this study. There were 7 weeks, 50 days between Jesus' resurrection and the day of Pentecost. So there's a lot of things that can take place in 7 weeks. What were you doing 7 weeks ago? Celebrating Christmas, maybe? New Year's? I don't know. Get the count back. There's a lot of things taking place since then, right? So we'll focus our thoughts concerning this event that we're going to read about in John 21. But I think it's important to cover a little background information first to kind of get our thinking up to their thinking, what they were thinking, you know, these disciples, so we can better appreciate this, what John calls Jesus' third visit to his disciples after his resurrection there in John 21. And we mentioned this briefly last week. Quite a few of Jesus' disciples, the ones that went fishing, they were fishermen, right? That's how they made their living. But if you read the scripture, we never read them catching anything without the help of Jesus. Now, obviously, they had to be pretty decent fishermen to have made a living fishing before this time. Once Jesus comes on the scene, they never catch anything by themselves. It always takes his help. When Peter first met Jesus, this is back in Luke 5:10, we read this. The Lord told Peter back there in Luke 5:10, Jesus said unto Simon, which is Peter, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Well, think about it. Up to this point in time, after Jesus' resurrection, have they caught any men? Has anybody got saved from their listening to the disciples? I mean, you guys are Bible students. No, it's kind of hard to... Give me the verse if you can find it. Yeah, where they led somebody to the Lord. And then, so every time after this event in Luke 5 that we read of Peter or any of the other disciples fishing, the end result was they caught nothing. And this was a lesson Jesus was teaching them. Without me, you can do nothing, maybe? Okay. When Jesus came on the scene and helped them, their results were exceedingly, abundantly, above all they could ask for or expected. You look there in Luke 5, when they followed Jesus in partially followed Jesus' instructions. He says, let down your nets, and they let down a net. They caught so many fish that it almost sunk two ships. And this is after fishing all night, catching nothing. So what we should realize then, for these next 3+ years that Peter and the other disciples followed Jesus, especially Peter, who's our subject of focus there in Luke 5, he was in training for the time when he would be equipped to catch men. Peter didn't catch any men until he was, and bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, until he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And that happened on the day of Pentecost. And how many got saved that day, remember? 3,000 plus, maybe. That's pretty good, isn't it? You ever been to a service where 3,000 plus got saved? Think about it. So that was 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, but we haven't come to that point in time in our study. Now I want you to go to John 6 for a few minutes. It's amazing how John 6 comes up in a lot of studies. Scott even mentioned it a little bit from John 6 on Friday night. And it's a large chapter. It's full of many memories of things that happened in Galilee. Things that happened in Galilee with Jesus' disciples. And I want to start with John 6:1. It says, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Now remember, John wrote this 55 or more years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the Sea of Galilee, by the time he wrote this, was called the Sea of Tiberias. We actually find the Sea of Galilee called by three names in Scripture: the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, and in Luke 5:1, it's called the Lake of Gennesaret. Now, the Sea of Tiberias was the Roman name for the Sea of Galilee. It was named after one of the Caesars. Tiberius, maybe? Mm-hmm. The Sea of Galilee is the Jewish name. Galilee means a circuit. And Sister Bodie, in her John Study book, notes, when the circuit has been run, then he will return. She was making reference to the statements that we are currently studying about after Jesus' resurrection, when he would return and visit his disciples in the verses that we find in Matthew 28:16-20. And then further, Sister Bodie also noted that Galilee also refers to the second coming of Christ. When the circuit has been run, then he will return. Okay? Then Gennesaret is the ancient name of the Sea of Galilee, and Gennesaret means harps. And Brother Hawkins, in his study book on Luke, he notes that harps speak of the glad tidings of the gospel of Christ, the good news, glad tidings. And Gennesaret, meaning harps, speaks of the glad tidings message that were preached on or around near the Sea of Galilee. And if you think about it, Jesus' disciples had heard many times Jesus give lessons and sermons in Galilee, around there, around the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is 16 miles long, is 6 miles wide. It's a lake, okay? But they call it the Sea of Galilee. If you're standing at one end of it and looking the other direction, you probably couldn't see all the way across. Nita's been there, is that true? Okay. So the Sea of Galilee is where Jesus' disciples, those that were fishermen, kept their boats. And it's where they made their living prior to abandoning all this and following Jesus. So some of these events that we're going to read about in John 6, all of the events there, occurred in and around the Sea of Galilee. There's something mentioned in John 6 that's akin to something that's said in John 21, which we'll read when we get there. And this was in John 6, we read of the 5,000 men plus women and children being fed with a young man's lunch of 5 barley loaves. We'd probably think of it like rolls, okay? And 2 small fishes. There's a lot said in the 71 verses of John 6. But let's think about Jesus' disciples and the memories they had from John 6. It was Jesus' disciples here by the Sea of Galilee who dispersed this meal to this large crowd. 25,000 people, something like that. We don't think about this very often, but how many truckloads today would it take to feed 25,000 people? Okay, one meal. That's a large crowd. Suffice it to say that it would be more than his 12 disciples could carry. So when his 12 disciples passed out this food, how did that work? 5 loaves, 2 small fishes, 12 disciples. They dispersed this to 25,000 people. And if you read the story, you'll find that distribution was made to everyone, and everyone, all 25,000 plus people, got as much as they would. How'd they do that? You've been to a baseball game? They go around. I don't know if they have 25,000 people. Sometimes they do. You know, hot dogs. And, well, they don't carry enough hot dogs for 25,000 people. You know, so what did the disciples, they go around going, barley loaves and fish here. Yeah, no, everybody got some, right? Okay. And Jesus' disciples, when they passed out this food, no matter how much was taken, there was still more supply there. They didn't have to go back and get more, because the loaves and the fishes kept multiplying right before their eyes. Take what you want. Well, you take what you want. Oh, no, you take what you want. And there were still full baskets there, right? You know this is true. The multitude couldn't exhaust Jesus' bounty. And here they had the opportunity to do so. Take as much as you want. And they were hungry. When everyone's hunger was completely satisfied, we read the disciples took up 12 baskets full of the fragments left behind. They didn't have 12 baskets full to begin with. They didn't have one basket full. They had 2 small fishes and 5 barley loaves. And think about this. All 5 gospel writers record this story. So it was a highlight. It was a highlight that had happened to them. We often reference this story in our lessons, like I mentioned earlier. So in my mind, it would be hard for Jesus' 11 remaining disciples to go to the Sea of Galilee without remembering or looking over and saying, remember Jesus and the feeding the 25,000 people here? Remember those 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes? That was right here. And they're going up to Galilee again to go fishing. They're in John 21. They were all a part of this very small distribution team Jesus had assembled to feed the multitude. And if you think about it, and we don't really consider it, we just read it over and believe it and move on. But each of Jesus' 12 disciples would have passed out food to over 2,000 people, each one of them. So as you think about that, that's a pretty big event, isn't it? None of us have ever done anything like that. Okay, some other things that are highlighted in John 6 is Jesus walking on the water on the Sea of Galilee. Amen. So did Peter. It'd be hard to go there and say, oh, I remember walking on the water, right? You'd have to remember that, you know? You'd have to have some thought of Jesus here, wouldn't you? With all these things that happened here, if you're one of his disciples. And certainly Peter never forgot this. Neither did the other disciples. So when they go to Galilee and they go fishing on the Sea of Galilee, did they have any thoughts of Jesus? Well, we don't read it that they do in John 21. But they certainly must have. They weren't ignorant. They had memories. Go look at John 6:47 and 48. There we find Jesus in the middle of that great discourse on the bread of life, and he says there in John 6:47 and 48, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." He told them all how to be saved. I am that bread of life. Who was he preaching this to? Those people that were fed? Some of them, you know. He was teaching, his disciples were there. They heard this. And if you look at the succeeding verses, you'll see how many of Jesus' followers here concluded that Jesus' words were objectionable to them because they could not comprehend what Jesus was instructing them. Therefore, they rejected Jesus' teaching. And we read, starting in John 6:66, that from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. The disciples references people who were following Jesus. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter, he was never a shy one, was he? He always had something to say, didn't he? He answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." So we mention all this because these events took place in Galilee. And it would be events that would be certainly hard to forget. It'd be hard to go there and not remember what Jesus had taught them, what Jesus had said, what had happened there. So when we get to John 21, we find seven of Jesus' disciples back at the Sea of Galilee, and certainly some of these things were in the back of their mind. They couldn't have gone there and say, "I remember this, I remember that." You know, they had to remember this. This was also the place where they'd first met Jesus. So a lot of these memories of being with Jesus on and around the Sea of Galilee were in their minds. And again, the Apostle John, he thought about this for 55 or more years before he wrote it down. And when the Holy Ghost finally inspired the Apostle John to write his 21 chapters, John wrote about only a few of the events of the time, his time with Jesus. He said in the last verses of John 20, in verse 30 and 31, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Look at the last verse in John 21, which is verse 25. John writes, after thinking about it for 55 or so years, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. So the things he wrote were the highlights of the highlights. Okay? And then, before we get to John 21, turn to 1 John. We'll read the first four verses there. And this was written even later than the Gospel of John. And he was trying to express in the first four verses there how it was being with Jesus, the Son of God, for 3+ years. How he was privileged to follow Jesus as one of his closest disciples. He was there. He'd been there. It was overwhelming to him, even at this point, to remember all that. 1 John 1:1, he writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So John here was personally remember how he saw Jesus, how he touched Jesus, how he even held his hand, felt his breath. He laid his heart on his breast. He heard his heartbeat. John, it seems here, was still pinching himself, realizing that this unique opportunity that was his to hang out with Jesus was, man, that was real. 3.5 or so years time in his life. He never forgot any of that. He was with Jesus, the word of life, for over 3 years. And John here, as he writes this in 1 John 1, was still enjoying Jesus' fellowship and encouraging us to also enjoy Jesus' fellowship. And we do, or we wouldn't be here. So, well, we're going to run out of time here, but you will read John 21 this week, I think. John chapter 21 records one event after Jesus' resurrection, and John 21 deals in a large part how Jesus instructed Peter. But the other present apostles here in John 21, they also learn much from this instruction. We'll read verse 1 and 2, and we'll get back to this next week if the Lord tarries. John 21, 1. "After these things," we'll get to it next time, Lord willing. That was a good introduction, though.